Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning, CIU. Oh, I gotta condition the room. I want to lead by saying I'm a Baptist preacher, so when I say good morning, I need responsiveness. I need y'all to talk to me. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, y'all are. Good morning, CIU.
Good morning.
Can we pray together? My pastor used to come before the congregation, and he would recite a hymn, and this is one of my favorite ones. Before he talked to the Lord, he would always offer a praise. Amazing sight, the Savior stands and knocks at every door. 10,000 blessings in his hand to satisfy the poor. Behold, he said, I bleed and die to bring you to my rest. Hear, sinners, why I'm passing by, and be forever blessed. Father, we come in this moment. And Lord, my simple prayer is that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I ask these things in the name of the risen Savior, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. And all God's children said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Grab your Bibles with me. We're going to go into the Word of God. 27th Psalm, a familiar passage of Scripture. I was going to go in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Thank you, Brother McCall. But as I was washing my car on yesterday and I was having a conversation with the Lord about each and every one of you, he dropped this verse and this address in my spirit. And it reads on this wise from the rustic language of the King James Version. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Skip down to verse 6 with me, if you will. And it says, now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I want to tell you something that you might already know, but I'm going to say it in truth, power, clarity, and conviction. You have nothing to be afraid of. Say it out loud. I have nothing to fear. About 10 years ago, I had a conversation with my mother. This is my mother. We were on the plane. I was taking her on her very first plane ride. My mother is blind and an amputee. She was nervous about the trip. She had never been on an airplane before. But about 10 years ago, I had a conversation with my mama. She had a bad infection in her foot, and the physicians had done all they could to save it, and she was in constant pain. The infection was spreading up her leg, and it was about to start threatening her life. And I dropped her off from the doctor's appointment. I was on my way back to Columbia when the phone rang. It was my mama. She asked me if she thought, she asked me if I thought that she should get her foot amputated. And I remember responding pretty quickly to her question. I said, Mama, all I want for you is that I just want you to be out of pain. I get tired of seeing you limp around the house. I get tired of going to the doctors, even though I enjoy doing it, but it doesn't seem that your situation is proving. I was like, Mama, put a period at the end of this sentence. I just want you out of pain. She says, when I call the doctor back, I'm going to tell him that he can cut the foot off. And I remember the day of the procedure, we went down to Charleston to Roper Hospital. And I asked her if she was nervous. She said, I'm nervous a little bit, but I'm good. I'm putting this in the Lord's hands. We prayed and we went into the operating room. Afterward, we met with the surgeons in the private room that she had. And I remember her sitting up in the bed, lifting up her thigh and looking at her lower leg, and her foot was missing. I'll never forget this as long as I live. She dropped her head in her hands and started crying for about 30 to 45 seconds. She asked me to go get her some tissue and a washcloth to wipe her face. And I did that. And as I was wiping her face, she said, find me a physical therapist. She was ready to get back to work because she would not allow the fear of the uncertainty to get the better of me. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. Scholars have different thoughts about David, where he was in life when he penned the 27th Psalm. The conversations about the origins are important in sense of the context, but for the sake of this exposition, it doesn't really matter. The when isn't important. The why is important. Whether David wrote this before coming to the throne as he slayed the giant or when he was old and his days for ministry were coming for an end, the fact of the matter is that David writes with a possessive pronoun, Dr. Young. He says, my. The Lord says, my. He says, the Lord is my life and he is my salvation. David had life and ministry experience in asking God for direction and guidance when the time seemed difficult. He said that because it's in 2 Samuel 21:16 that Samuel, he's writing this recording of David. The Bible says it in 2 Samuel that David was in a tight spot with Ishbi-Benob said that he was going to kill David. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a place where your life might have been threatened, but that's news I don't think that any of us want to hear. He said that he was going to kill David. The Bible says it was there that David's men begin to talk to him in verse 17 and let him know that you don't have to worry about going in battle again because we're going to take care of your adversaries for you. It's to that end that you have to realize that sometimes we're so deep in the middle of our struggles, in the middle of our storms, where we can't see a way out of problems that we see ourselves in, that we need people around us to encourage us in the Lord. You miss me. Come here a little bit closer. What you need, saints of God, from time to time is somebody that is able to pray for you, to let you know that when you might not be able to find your way out of a problem, God has deputized people around you to lift up arms and pray for you in the moment that you need it the most. And whether you realize it or not, that is an act of saving grace. It's there that when you're times, when you're perplexed, bewildered, and confused, that you have to say, I need help. Anybody ever been there before? And sometimes we're so deep in our battle, we forget that God is able to do just what he said he'll do, and that he's going to fulfill every promise that he made for you. You just heard the song being sung, don't give up on God, because he won't give up on you. Why? Because he's able. The reason David had no reason to fear because God was his light and his salvation. I want you to think for a moment. Some of you might be freshmen, first-time students, and this hasn't happened to you just yet, but it might. But I want you to think back over the times when you didn't have money for tuition and it kept you up at night. Think about the time when you were leaving home for the first time, being roomed with somebody that you never met. You came here thinking that you might not have been good enough to walk into your destiny because you were fighting doubt, fear, and unbelief. These are the times where you have to let yourself know that I've got nothing to fear because God is. And in order to walk confidently in your calling, sometimes you have to remind yourself that the God that you serve is unable to fail and he doesn't change. If I was in my church at Zion Benevolent, I would say God is God and he don't change. But since I got English instructors in the room, I have to watch my vernacular and say he doesn't change. Because if you go to Judges chapter 7, he's the same God that Gideon had to rely on when he was fighting against the Midianites and he was outnumbered. You already know how that story turned out. The Bible says that God allowed Gideon to see victory when the odds were stacked against him. He's the same God that showed a widow woman that was down to her last dime that she was preparing to die, that he could supply all of her needs. He's the same God that made lions lose their appetite for human flesh when Daniel was sentenced to death in Daniel chapter 3. He's the same God that let three Hebrews know that if they put their trust in him and in him alone, that they had nothing to fear because he is a deliverer. And what I like about their testimony is that they said that even if he don't come through, we know that he's still able. Anybody know that God is able in the house this morning? Again, I need y'all talking to me. Not only is God your salvation, I want you to be encouraged because he's your strength. Everybody say he's my strength. Uh-huh. I haven't forgotten that yesterday is King Day. And in all the platitudes that we lay at the feet of Dr. King is often overlooked the most important part of his ministry. And it's that Dr. King was a preacher. Oftentimes we call him Dr. King, but the appropriate title is Reverend Dr. King. He was doing the master's will in his life. And God, we have to realize that in the times that we live in, And I need to say it out loud so that everybody, even the devils in the pits of hell, can hear it. God never calls anybody to hate. God never calls anybody to discriminate. God never calls anybody to divide. God never inspires anybody toward malicious insurrection. He only pushes toward godly living. You can say amen right there. Your calling is more than just for a moment. It's obedience to God and service one to another. Freedom is not the liberty to do whatever you want to do, but it's rather submitting to the will of God. Peep this. It requires strength. Simply because the adversary is ever present doesn't mean that God doesn't give you strength to walk uprightly. And I know sometimes it is challenging. It is difficult to say and to do the right thing. I thank God for a student I had in my office prior to coming here. She said that she was struggling because at times she knew the right thing to do, but what was on her heart was the thing that was always wanting to come out of her mouth. And I told her something simple. I said, sweetheart, just stay strong in the Lord. And it's there I say that because if you pay attention only to the distractions that are around you, you're going to miss out on the important things in life. And for some that have lived long enough, when you see the visual of the Viking horns and the deer fur vest with the red and white face paint, it reminds you of the sheets and the burning crosses. But you have to realize this clearly. That's just the enemy that's trying to distract the people of God. Satan wants you to think that this is about black versus white, Republican versus Democrats, the have versus the have-nots. No, this is about light and it's about darkness. Strength versus weakness. You got an enemy that has been deputizing distractions around you to keep you off the one thing that you need to be focusing on, and that's your eternal soul. It's getting quiet in here. The pandemic hit some of us hard, and we ain't been in the sanctuary, and everybody wants to be deep about their responses. I'll keep it simple for you. You got to stay focused. You got to be strong. You got to keep your feet heavy to what we call the gospel plow, leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. You might not be able to make it to the sanctuary, zoom into church, FaceTime your way into a Bible study, call somebody that knows how to get into the Word of God, because you can't afford to get distracted and you can't afford to get weak. Why? Because it's in Galatians 6 and 13 where it says, for brethren, you've been called to ministry, only not use liberty to be an occasion for the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So I'm asking for strength, but it ain't just for me. Dr. King said in a sermon once that he preached on godly strength. On November 17, 1957, he preached a sermon at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. I've been blessed to visit that church on a time or two. In that message, he said, now there's a final reason that I think Jesus says love your enemies. It is this. He said that love has within it a redemptive power. And there's a power that eventually transforms individuals. Just keep being friendly to that person. Keep loving them, and they can't stand it too long. Oh, they may react in many ways from the beginning. They reacted with guilty feelings. And sometimes they'll hate you a little more in that transitional period. He says, but you keep loving them. And by the power of your love, they'll break down under the load. And there's something about love that builds up and it's creative. There's something about hate that tears down and destructive. So love your enemies. And sometimes we need a revival for strength. When we're weary, weak, wounded, and worn, there's a time when you feel like your load is heavy. And it feels like you can't make it by yourself. And I want you to understand that those are the times where you have to do what we call in the country, start talking to yourself. And people that sometimes feel that they talk to themselves, people look at them like they're crazy. But there's something profound about talking to yourself, because at times when nobody's around you, you have to know how to minister to yourself and draw within your inward well of strength. I've been where you are. It's a challenge sometimes to putting your feet on the floor and walking to a classroom when you're frustrated because you're misunderstood. It's difficult walking into a cafeteria when you've got anxiety and depression is gripping you. But you have to ask the Lord to be your strength. Sometimes it's hard going into the dorm room when you ain't really rocking with your roommate. I've been there before. Me and my roommate weren't best friends. I couldn't wait the freshman year to be over. Thank God for Jesus. When my freshman year older, I moved 7 miles away from campus. I struggled. But I asked God. I asked him for strength. And what it did, it reminded me of my mother's testimony. My mother went through the worst types of things. But she asked the Lord one simple thing. She said, Lord, just make me strong. Just make me strong so that I can endure. My grandmother had a sister. We called her Aunt Freda. Aunt Freda made the best jelly cakes you ever wanted to eat. Aunt Freda would sing a song every Sunday morning if the pastor was brave enough to pass her the microphone. Her name was Doretha Caper. She would sing the same song every Sunday. It was simply this, Lord, hold my hand while I run this race. She said, Lord, hold my hand while I run this race. I don't want my running to be in vain. So not only do you need to ask the Lord to be your salvation, not only do you have to ask the Lord to be your strength. Y'all gonna love me because I'm almost finished. You gotta ask the Lord to also be your song. If you skip down to verse number 6, this is where I would tell Finkley or Zaida, put me in E flat or C sharp because I'm about to close. It's here in verse 6 where he says, now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. He sings about it. David go through verses 2-5 talking about his godly confidence. And he begins to encourage himself. And he starts by verse 6 saying that his head is lifted. And the lifting of his head puts a song in his heart. And some of us have allowed fear to cripple us from looking up. We're broken, discouraged, and frustrated, but you don't have to be afraid. The reason you don't have to be afraid is because fear is not something that God gives you. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. While you might not know Greek, you might not know Hebrew, Dr. Rogers, you might not know Aramaic, but you know a song in your heart. You might have moments when you're unsure about what your next move is. Isaiah, you got to learn how to say, order my steps in your word. In the moments that you feel defeated, Marlo, you got to go on YouTube and hit Dorothy Norwood and say, victory is mine. You got to sing unto the Lord a new song. Dr. King shared a story once where he couldn't sleep at night once. He was having opposition from within and from without. Things were going poorly in the Southern Leadership Conference. Things were going poorly with he and Abernathy. There were some internal struggles. And on the outside, the FBI had been watching him, had the audacity to send him a letter and tell him he ought to kill himself. And one night, he couldn't sleep. He sat down in his kitchen, made a pot of coffee, and started talking to the Lord. And while he was talking to the Lord, a song began to resound in his spirit, the only thing that he can think of. And it was this, and it says, as a hymn writer wrote, sometimes I feel discouraged, and it seems like my work down here is in vain. But then the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he revives my soul again. Sometimes we need to go through a soul revival. And we got to learn how to keep a song in our spirit to encourage us, to push us, to motivate us, and to keep us from being fearful. For it's in these times that we live, that we need people that are going to stand boldly in the power of the Lord, to stand when the world is on the outside looking at us, saying that those people on Monticello Road don't have life figured out. You said, no, we got what you actually need. You're cross bearers. You're walking in the image and in the likeness of God. Stand with your feet shouldered. And in verse number 6, pick your heads up. You're not defeated. You're a child of the Most High God. You're not less than. You're more than conquerors. There's no need for you to walk in fear and intimidation. I tell everybody that might be going through the tough times in your life, don't tiptoe, strut. The God that we serve is a powerful God and is able to do all things but fail. And I know that life might be affecting you. This circumstance is different. CIU is wired differently than other colleges. There's no reason for you to walk in fear. You walk in faith. To know that God can do all things but fail. Can we pray together? While I'm praying, I don't know what any of you might be facing. Fear is a real thing. And I've met with a number of students, not just in the most recent weeks, but even going back to last term, that were gripped with fear, fighting battles in their mind because their mental health is unstable, dealing with life stressors because while you're here on campus, your mind is at problems at home, and fear is starting to set in. You're uncertain about the threat of COVID that's gripping not just our campus, but this nation, and you're asking God to give you peace and protection. I want you to know He hears you. I want you to know He's covering you. There's no reason for you to fear. Father, we come this morning thanking You for the truth of Your word. Father, we thank You that it's because Your word tells us that You're our light and our salvation, that we have no reason to fear. Help us to walk in the boldness of Your power. Father, help us to keep our heads lifted above all of our enemies, whether they be known or unknown, whether they be natural or spiritual. Keep us in Your peace, dear Lord. I pray for every one of these students, Lord. Whatever they stand in need of, whatever their heart's desires are, whatever the disposition of their hearts is inclined toward You, Father, lift their heads, encourage them. Father, strengthen our hands as administrators, as faculty members, as staff members, as teachers, as mentors and advisors. Strengthen our hands so that we can strengthen theirs. Help us to give them everything that they need so they can go forth to not just make You known, also not to know You, Lord, not just to know You, but to also make You known. And for every victory that You allow us to see, for every battle You give us, God, dominion over, we'll be so careful to give Your name all the honor, Your name all the glory, and Your name all the praise. For You alone are worthy. And we ask these things in the name of the risen Savior, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. In His name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.